Well, a very good evening and you're welcome along to another Terrace Talk as September is about to tick away and head into October. The months are flying, with still plenty of sporting action both here at home and abroad to look at over the next 2 hours or so. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock as ever this evening. Thanks a million to Tim Moynihan, who stepped into this seat last week. I was away in Athlone with Kerry FC, unfortunately, all the way up to get a boring enough nil-all draw. But anyway, we still had to get out and cover the game as well, and back in tonight. So thanks for Tim for stepping in last week. Of course, we'll be chatting football tonight, the Garvey Super Value County Senior Football Championship. It'll reach kind of championship proper next weekend. Our earlier preliminary rounds are now over, but we'll be chatting to Dan Carney just in a couple of minutes about that. And of course, the Ladies Senior Football Championship are after reaching the final stage of that. We've been tracking these over the last couple of weeks and some cracking games over the weekend. Speaking of Kerry FC, this time next week we'll know will they be heading for the Aviva Stadium or not. Of course, a historic clash live on the television coming up next Sunday against Shamrock Rovers. We'll have Dean McCarney on to chat a small bit about that. Broston GA, big weekend in Broston this weekend. 50 years there, the president of the GA, and everything coming down to Broston this weekend. We'll be chatting to them and see what the plans are for this weekend. Of course, Training with the Stars returns to Kinmare as well this coming Saturday. A fantastic event. We'll be joined by Gino Sullivan there, and Kerry footballer Sean O'Shea is going to be on the programme, so stay tuned for that. And of course, how could we forget the Ryder Cup last night? What a dramatic end, and an Irishman winning it for Europe in the end. We'll talk to a man who was at Bethpage Black yesterday. We'll also talk to a young Kerry golfer who won the World Schools Golf Championship as well. So all on the up for the golf. What were you at the weekend? Did you take in anything on the television? Of course, NFL touchdown in Croke Park, the first regular season game to come to the Ireland of Ireland, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the fancied favourites, just about winning that in the end in Croke Park. 75,000 people at the game, they reckon between 30,000 and 40,000 Americans travelled over for that one. Looked like a cracker for anybody who was there. I know there was an exodus from the office here as well to Croke Park. My highlight of the game was Robert Mazzell singing the American National Anthem and having to look into his cowboy hat twice to remember the lyrics. If you haven't seen that, look it up on social media. It is quite funny. He bends into the hat two or three times. Obviously, the lyrics must have been taped to the top of the hat. But without further ado, we'll move on to the football and we'll stay away from the American National Anthem for the evening. And delighted to be joined in studio as ever by kind of our resident ladies football man and woman in Dan Carney and Niamh Daly. Dan, I'll start with you first, I suppose, before we touch on the ladies football. As I mentioned there, the County Senior Football Championship with two classic enough encounters after extra time the weekend, with South Kerry and North Kerry both prevailing. The fixtures then for next weekend, a cracking draw for next weekend's sort of last 16, if you want to call it that, the last round before the quarterfinals. Rathmore and West Kerry both have a bye on Saturday. Then it's Temple Knowe against East Kerry. Austin Stacks will face Milltown Castlemaine, and Dr. Crokes take on Mid Kerry. Those two, the latter a doubleheader in Austin Stack Park in Tralee. And then on Sunday it's South Kerry against Spall. Dingle take on the Gael, and Kinmare Shamrocks meet North Kerry. Dan, I suppose from the county championship perspective, there's some cracking games there, and obviously with the divisionals having played each other a couple of times, they'll put it up to the clubs next weekend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, look, the big thing about having the preliminary rounds for the divisional teams is that they could get it together. You know, the club teams always have that advantage. They're playing all year, they're playing county league, you know, they're coming into the championship. Then I suppose the divisional teams are only getting it together. There's a number of their clubs might be involved in junior premier, might be involved in it at intermediate level, but now it's really, I suppose, the cream has come to the top. And like you said, after two great games the weekend, went to extra time, and that's going to stand to South Kerry and who else was it?
To North Kerry, of course.
Yeah, North Kerry, of course. Yeah, their first year in county championship, and what a win was for them to get off the mark there. And Jimmy Kane, of course, over them. And Jimmy, of course, the former St. Kieran's manager. And you know, that's a very good start, very organised manager to have. And they'll go into the next round without any fear.
Yeah, against a tough opponent in Kinmare Shamrocks as well, of course. Some standout ties there, I suppose. The one that really popped out from the pages, Dr. Crokes against Mid Kerry, a baptism of fire maybe for Crokes back into their first round, of course, in the county championship after coming out of the senior club. And we know how strong Mid Kerry are as well. That could be a good test for them early doors.
Oh, absolutely, that could be a huge game. That could be the game of the championship even already. You know, I mean, two sides guys are going to have no fear of each other. Mid Kerry, of course, they're backbone by Beaufort and Glenbeg and Cairn. That, like, they have a huge mix of a very, very talented players. You know, they're going to put it up to the Crokes. The Crokes on their day, if you let them play, they're going to do damage. You know, the likes Tony Braston, Michal Burns, these lads, Mark O'Shea is playing out of his skin at the moment, as is Gavin White. They're going to do damage. But it could be a serious, serious tie that could go right down to the wire there, Ivan.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, and as I said, a doubleheader on Sunday as well in Ostagh Park, Dingle against Nigel, Kemer Shamrocks against North Kerry. And yeah, we'd have Liam and John back. We gave them the weekend off, I think, to be fair, well deserved. They've been flat out since the start of the club championship. And with just the two games this weekend, we said we'd give the lads a bit of time off, and we'll review everything next weekend. Of course, six cracking encounters. Rathmore and West Kerry, the lucky ones, into a quarter final. They can sit down and watch this weekend. But then we'll head on to the ladies, of course, the Bonsecours Ladies Championship. It feels like we've been kind of waiting for these semi finals and finals for ages. Now they've come around, they really delivered again at the weekend. We might start with the senior, Dan, and a huge result for Nigel over Fenwick St. Sennans.
Yeah, a huge result for Nigel, their first senior final, and you know, well deserved. They got over the line against the Fenwick St. Sennans. We'll look back in that game with regret. Mm-hmm. It looked like they were going to win it. Poor kick out from Fenwick St. Sennans and Maria Quirk. We're not too sure, was she going for a point or was she going for a goal, but she lobbed it over the goalie's head into the back of the net, won the game for Nigel. Fenwick St. Sennans, they look back at the first half, I think they kicked maybe seven wides in the first half as opposed to Nigel's four. You know, that was the winning and losing of the game. They had plenty of possession. You have Carmody had a goal chance, blasted wide, you might have, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
it's not going to be your day. Maria Quirk got a couple of goals there for Nigel, played very well. Nigel have been, a lot of people have been tipping them from the start of the year, and they're in the final now, and they rightly deserve it, because if you stick in there, you'll get your rewards in the finish, and they got it against Fenwick St. Sennans.
Yeah, a bit of a fight back towards the end for Nigel. Of course, your former side, unfortunately, Dan Cassidy and Desmond's, they're out, but a very strong performance against Southern Gales.
Yeah, I was saying to you on the way in there, the last time I was in the studio was last year after we won the county championship, and I was involved with them, so I did a different role yesterday. I was at the game, not in the managerial capacity, but in a reporting capacity, and it was a disappointing day out for us. Southern Gales very much deserved the win. They were the much better side on the day, much more direct side. Castellan and Desmonds kept going down blind alleys. Southern Gales were ready for them, and they capitalised on it, and they broke a pace and played good early ball in. Shifra O'Shea and Rachel Dwyer inside did a pile of damage. I think they scored, was it 2-6 or something like that, that Rachel Dwyer got. Like, you know, it's phenomenal scoring, and Desmond just couldn't cope with it, and Shifra was calling the shots outside. So look, It was a tough day for Desmonds. They missed three goal chances throughout the game. They had a chance right at the start of the first half, right at the start of the second half, and they rattled the crossbar. On another day, if they went in, you know, if you took your chances, who knows what the result would be. Mm. You know, they made a good comeback in the second half. In fact, they might have won the second half 3-5 to 3-3 by my estimation. But overall, Southern Gales deserved it, and they're going to take a lot of beating in the final.
Yeah, I think the term goals win matches is definitely there, 5-9 to 3-8. So as you said, if Desmond's managed to rattle the net twice more, could have been a fairly interesting finish.
Yeah, it could have been a different result, you know, but look, it's apples and oranges, you know, who knows what can happen. Absolutely. You know, every time Desmond's came down and they got a goal chance, Southern Gales were able to reply straight away. They were up the field, and you know, that was the killer. And look, like I say, they deserved it. Desmond's, they're a bit sad, a bit, you know, disappointed after it, you know, to lose your county title. But look, Martin O'Donoghue and his management team, they've done a phenomenal job this year, and they were down a few players from last year as well, so they'll be back again next year. But fair play to Southern Gales, and it's going to be a cracker of a final between them and Nigel. You know, it's like old money against new money, you know, in that kind of sense. Like, so
To lose the semi-final, Dan, I know you've been involved kind of managing before. It's always a tough one to lose, because you're always kind of fingertips maybe away from a final. You just don't know then in the final if you might get beaten in a final. You can say you got beaten better on the day, but kind of lose the semi-final, I'm sure the disappointment is real with both Fenwick St. Sennans and Castellan and Desmonds. It must be a tough one to kind of pick yourself up from.
Semi-finals, you know, there's the old cliche, semi-finals are there to be won, and when you don't win them, like, it's like you're missing a limb. Like, you know, you're losing out on the razzmatazz coming up to a final. I mean, you're going to be very, very excited in South Kerry and inside in Killeen, you know, in the Nigel club. you know, ahead of this. I mean, it's going to be a huge day for Nigel. I mean, their senior men got to the final earlier on, and now we have the senior layers for the first time. I've been waiting for this Nigel team to come for the last few years. They won the Munster Intermediate back in 2018, mm-hmm. you know, and that's 7 years ago now. So most of those girls are still available for them. They have good young talent coming through. They beat Southern Gales fairly well in the first round. I think that was a kind of a result that Southern Gales sat down and said, "Look, we need to gather ourselves here now after this." So yeah. they'll go in with confidence. Nigel will, but Southern Gales is Southern Gales, so you know it's going to be fairly tough to beat them. They've been there before and they have the experience.
Yeah, and getting to the final this year might be a huge step in the right direction for Nigel. Niamh is waiting patiently in the studio next door. Good evening to you, Niamh. I suppose that you're going to look at the intermediate for us, and it was good wins for both Clonmacnoise Van and MKL Gales as well.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago I was on here and I said MKL Gales are going to win and Clonmacnoise are going to win. Did I call it? I did. But it wasn't without a cracking contest from both opposition sides. So we'll start with the MKL Gales, 119 Beaufort 211, and it was kind of neighbours at war in Fossa as MKL Gales and Beaufort. They served up a cracking contest. MKL Gales, last year's beaten finalists, they really had to dig deep after a brilliant goal from Caoimhe Reardon lit up the first half, and the scores kept coming thick and fast, and fittingly it was all square at the break, which was exciting for the crowd, I suppose. Not as exciting for the players, I don't know, but anyway, the second half was just as fierce with end-to-end football, and the crowd were on their feet, but it was young Shola Flynn who gave MKL Gales fresh energy. But Beaufort hit back with a second goal to edge in front, and then that only sparked MKL Gales into life, and Caoimhe Evans drove at the defence, and Sarah Fitzgerald, she just kept the scoreboard ticking, and then Maeve Rochford, she struck the all important goal late on, and then it was Tina Murphy then sealed it with a final point for MKL, and they pulled away to win 119 to 211. So it was a derby full of drama, full of passion, and no shortage of skill. But yeah, MKL, they're going to head on into the final now again this year. Will they win it this year, though? Who knows?
Well, we're going to have to ask you for your prediction, Niamh, because you got that one right, and I'd be heading down to the bookmakers maybe with an all 2 or 3 euro if you're going to tell me who's going to win that one.
Well, they are up against Clonmacnoise Van. It was a game against Abbey there, and I thought that this game, I was at this game now myself, I thought this game was going to go down to the wire. It didn't. But at the same time, Abbey did not give up. So it was a sun-soaked Fanuig. And as I said, I thought we were going to be in for a real thriller. The first half, it was tense and physical. Clonmacnoise started brilliantly with Aaron Finucane opening the scoreline. And then there was a near miss off the crossbar for a goal. But then a lot of wayward passes from Clonmacnoise. They really let Abby Dorney into the game. So Niamh Quinn, she was Abby Dorney's midfielder. She was absolutely outstanding in midfield. And then up front you had Melanie Higgins, and she was just, I describe her as deadly. She landed 3 points, while Kerry Camogie star then Amy McCarthy, she buried a fine goal. But just before the break came a massive moment for Clonmacnoise when Kelly Enright rattled the net to give Clonmacnoise Van 1-7 to 1-3 at half time lead. And then in the second half, Abby Dorney went a bit defensive. They were packing bodies behind the ball, and then Melanie Higgins, she kept the scoreboard ticking from freeze. But then Clonmacnoise Van, they just always had that extra gear in them, and Finucane and Gillian Musgrave, they were sharp in attack, and Mulliville clipped over 4, and Enright finishing with 1-2. So Abbey Dorney, they battled bravely, but it was Clonmacnoise's day. They just had too much firepower in the end, and then it was a scoreline of 116 to 119.
Yeah, plenty of great work being done for ladies football in Abbey Dorney as well.
So they march on to the final.
And that's going to be a great final. I think that MKL and Clonmacnoise Van final is going to be a top class affair. And it's very, very, it's up to you now to call that one, Niamh. I think it's going to be a very, very hard one.
Well, the pressure's on you now, Niamh. Myself and Dan aren't going to call it.
See, they met last year in the semi-final, and I think MKL were very lucky to beat. I felt like Clonmacnoise might have been a bit better. but it just went away from them. And they met also this year, and it was a cracker. It went down to the wire. So, yeah, I don't know. Can I call it?
She's sitting on the fence.
That is a city on the fence song I've ever seen.
Look, I think, I don't know. Like, there's some great players there on both sides, but see, my dad will kill me if I don't say Clonmac in my van, so...
On your dad's advice, though, we're saying Clonmac in my van by a point, is it?
Oh, God, I don't know. It's going to be... I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it so much because it is going to be a cracker of a game.
Yeah, that's
great.
They
might just edge it, lads. We'll see.
They might just edge it. It is great, Dan, to see there's that competitiveness as well around the ladies' football. And at this stage, as you say, semi-finals, finals are all about winning. And the games are right close battles as well throughout the various different grades.
Absolutely. And like, I go back to these two teams, Clonmac and my van. They won Junior A in 2023. They've made rapid progress. You know, Brian Carty and his management team there, they've done fantastic work. I saw them against Desmond's in, I think it was a Donal Curtin Cup final earlier or this year, and it was an absolute cracker out in Brusna. And
that went to extra time.
Yeah. And you know what? I was so impressed with Clonmac and my van that day. I said, this team are going to be, you know, they're going to be a serious shout for the Intermediate Championship. And there they are, they're one step away. But MKL are very decent side. They've been knocking on the door. They were very disappointed last year with their final performance. Mm-hmm. Again, they've kept the same management. They have the likes of Niamh Broderick there driving them forward. Kieran Murphy, Cuive Evans, Tiernan Murphy there, a young up and coming star. Shola Flynn, like Niamh said earlier, you know, really good player star with the Kerry under 16s this year. Really top player. I think she's going to be good. What a cracking final. Really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, plenty of action in the junior as well, of course, junior A, B and C in the ladies' grade. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, Dan. It was great to see so many different clubs and teams lining out, but still good battles up and down the divisions there in the junior.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose there was two semi-finals the weekend, and I was fortunate enough to be at Cremon against Spa and Junior A. But Cremon, as predicted, really, they were just too strong. Cremon will probably, you know, they'd be probably slight favourites to get over the line this year. But their management will have been very happy with their first half, not so happy with their second half. They shot the lights out in the first half. They were 3-5-2, 4 points up. And, you know, it looked like they were cruising. But in the second half, in fairness to Spa, they made a right good comeback, and they actually outscored them by 1-2-3 points. So even I was down near the Cremon management, Anna Maria O'Donoghue and PJ Reedy, and they were not happy. And, you know, it's probably a great way to win a semi-final and to come out of it and not to be a bit happy, you know. But what they will be happy with is their forward movement was really, really good, it must be said. Like Roisin Griffin there, she slotted away two goals. Now, one of them might have been a bit fortunate right at the start of the game, but she's a top-class forward, really, and she was a very good underage player for Kerry. And Emma Burke, she hit 1-6. She was unstoppable. She had 1-4 from play there. She's a big, athletic, rangy girl and quite a good player. And, you know, and Cora Joy was buzzing on the 40. And, you know, once, and Roisin Smith, I was very impressed with her in the half back line, and they just had that bit too much for Spa, who, must be said, really battled to the end. Ciara O'Sullivan, wing forward, very, very impressed with her. She took the battle to them, and she drove at them at every opportunity she could, but they just didn't have enough. Leah Tobin played well up front as well, must be said, and you know, but overall, really and truly, Cremon were the better team on the day.
Yeah, and they'll head off to that Junior A Championship, of course. Niamh, I'm going to come to you on the Junior B, a couple of results from there as well to give us.
Glenflesk 1-15, Listowel 11 points, and that was on Incardle yesterday, and Glenflesk booked their place into their very first Junior B final with a superb 9-point win over Listowel. But it didn't start well for them though, because Listowel came flying out of the traps and they were 7 points clear with just 15 minutes in. But they regrouped brilliantly, and from there it was one way traffic, and they outscored Listowel 1-15 to just 2 points over the next 45 minutes. And their captain there, Ava Doherty, she just led from centre back and she was outstanding. So it is Glenflesk, and they're going to face off Kearns O'Rahilly's in the final, which is going to be a cracking battle because it's between two rising young teams.
Yeah, I think Daniel, you mentioned there as well, and you've said it, you know, young teams, different clubs probably giving ladies football a go, maybe the first time in a few years, maybe the first time ever. And, you know, you can play in these kind of junior B, junior C, junior A, and everyone's kind of, you know, maybe at a similar enough level. There's teams maybe starting out and learning, there's teams that can go on and win those championships as well. But all in the end of the day, all these championships are up for the development of ladies football in different clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the big thing is to have a mix of experience and to have the youth coming through and keeping them together. And you know, clubs really have got their act together. And one of the clubs that has done that is Ballymac, who beat Fossey yesterday in another cracking match to reach the Junior A final, you know. And they have a lovely blend of youth and experience, a very, very good underage structure the last few years, as had Fossey as well, to be fair. But they just came out second best on the day. I think they might have missed a penalty. Robin White got a hand to it, and that really was probably the turning point in the game, because a couple of minutes later Ballymac went down the field and they put the ball into the back of the net, and you know that effectively finished it. Cora Savage there was in really top form for Ballymac, and the same with Aisling O'Connell in midfield. So they're going to have a great battle against Cremon in that Junior A final. But just back to your original point, the amount of work being done at underage level in ladies football in Kerry is absolutely phenomenal. And sometimes it's we might gloss over it and we say, oh, this, that. But there's every club, you'll even see now this evening, every club, if you went out to any football field around the Kerry, you'll see a huge number of young girls playing the game. And the great thing about it is there's an awful fall off at about 16 years of age. Yeah. But clubs are now keeping these players. And that's why the standard really has gone through the roof in Kerry Club football. I think it's rising and rising, and it can only be good for the senior inter-county team as well going forward.
Yeah, plenty of choice for players from Arbroath next year. Niamh, before we finish up, I failed to ask you your prediction for the ladies' final. Southern Gaels, of course, against the Gael. Yeah. Dan was saying they're two cracking teams and it should be a cracking final. Are Southern Gaels the favourites in your eyes?
I definitely would say they are the favourites. Now, I know that, Jesus, they hammered Southern Gaels at the very start of this championship, but I don't even think that counts at this stage. but I don't know, my worry is, because yesterday, Fenuig St. Sinan's, I feel like they were the better team. I know Nagail went on and won it in the end, but I would say that Southern Gaels are looking like they would be definitely going in as the favourites. But I don't know. I'd like to think that Nagail also have the players to stand it up to them. And I hope that it will be a brilliant final. But prediction wise, I don't know. I think.
Are you putting Niamh under pressure today, then?
I know, lads. I'm here and I'm kind of.
She's not coming up with the goods, though.
No, she's not. Well, no, she's not putting her neck in the line at all. She's afraid to get.
I'm going to go. Southern Gaels.
So the two Gaels to win, is it?
No. I think I said Clonmacken earlier.
We have to listen back to the tape.
No comment.
Lads and ladies, thanks very much for taking the time out. Of course, the finals not next again, the weekend after weekend of the 11th and 12th senior, intermediate and junior A, junior B final this weekend, and a few junior C semi-finals as well. Dan, just after that, for people who might be too sure, obviously there's kind of a Munster championship for these girls when they move on after the senior and intermediate as well, so we'd have similar enough to the men's for the winter, we'd have plenty of women's action, hopefully.
Yeah, it's the same scenario. Yeah, you win your senior, you win your intermediate, and you win your junior A, and you go forward into Munster competition, and you know, anything can happen after that, as we well know. You know,
we well know at this stage. Yeah, no, it's great, and we'll keep track of everything. As I said, maybe not next weekend, but the weekend after, next Monday, we'll be in chatting about the results in the ladies' championship. But lads, thanks very much for this evening. We'll be chatting Kerry FC after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Hey, welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. You can, as ever, get in touch with the programme. The phone lines are open. 066-712-3666 is our phone number this evening. You could text or WhatsApp if that suits you a bit better. 083 300 3300, or if you're out and about or away in a foreign destination, or you're maybe want to get in touch with the programme during the week, you can always do so. It's terracetalk@radiokerry.ie, and we'll pick up on that email at some stage during the week as well. And plenty of sporting events happening in the Kerry. If you want your sport event maybe mentioned on Terrace Talk, give us a shout on that. We'd be delighted to give you that spot of airtime, of course, as ever. But it is probably the biggest weekend in Kerry FC's short history. About 2.5, you could nearly say 3 seasons in Senior League of Ireland football, and the Kingdom heading to Tallaght Stadium on Sunday to take on Shamrock Rovers in the Sports Direct Men's FAI Cup semi-final, a live television date for the League of Ireland New Boys, and what an experience it'll be for the Kerry supporters heading up the road to enjoy this one, or maybe those being able to sit at home and listen to it live here on Radio Kerry next Sunday, or as I said, watch it on RTE television. Dermot Carney is with us, our resident Kerry FC man, and even kind of saying those words, Dermot, it still doesn't feel quite real what's going to happen next Sunday for Kerry FC.
Oh, Ivan, I suppose, you know, all those years ago, sitting in Mount Hawk Park listening to, you know, we're going to get the licence, and now we're going to be looking ahead to a debut season in the First Division, and now a few short years later, it's the big boys, Shamrock Rovers, Tallaght Stadium, in an FAI Cup semi-final live on TV. I don't think you could ask for better than that right now.
Yeah, it is a huge thing for the club, and I mean, look, obviously, you know, no one probably expecting Kerry to go up and get a victory maybe at this stage, but again, it's the experience of it, and again, for a very young team with so many Kerry players on the team as well, you know, that in itself is going to be a huge occasion. And I've heard people kind of say this week and over the weekend that, oh, this is kind of Kerry's final, and you might consider it that way, but they're only 90 minutes away from the Aviva Stadium, which is quite mad. And if you want to go one step further, they're 180 minutes away from European football. So it's amazing how a season, a couple of cup wins, the bit of momentum can go, and you know, you could be right up there with the big boys.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's such a massive springboard for the club. And I think, you know, maybe the first season and maybe the season and a half, maybe a lot of people kind of said, look, you know, Kerry weren't getting the results, and maybe looked down on them as a side. But I think with the way things have gone this year, I think Kerry have really improved in this season. We've seen that, you know, maybe people are starting to really take them, you know, as a top quality side, and they're showcasing the growth of the club in such a short space of time has been, you know, incredible to see. And, you know, getting to this stage of the competition, and like, they're here on merit at the end of the day. Like, I mean, pulled it out of the fire against Athlone earlier on in the cup, managed to, you know, defeat a very, very good Cove team, climbed the absolute mountain against Sligo Rovers in the Mount Hawk miracle, and now it's, you know, arguably the greatest team we've ever seen in the League of Ireland, the most successful club in both the Premier Division and FAI Cup history. Like, it's a massive day. And look, if things don't go the way Kerry want on Sunday, I think they can take a lot of pride that they've got here. And I think a lot of people will take notice of them. And I think it's only going to be, you know, something that they can build on now for the coming years.
Yeah, and that probably is, you've just hit the nail on the head there, Dermot, I think, when you say it's probably something that the club can build on, you know, in the coming years, because, you know, you're probably saying as year three, you know, to be at a semi-final of the biggest cup competition in the country is probably maybe a touch ahead of Kerry's time. I know Treaty did it a couple of years ago when they kind of first came into the league, but they had the grounding of senior football in Limerick. Obviously, Limerick FC had wound up, but they had the grounding of senior football in Limerick. It was kind of a, people were used to sort of a thing. This is all new to Kerry people, to Kerry players, and to get this to this stage, you know, at the end of their third season, it only signals, hopefully, good things to come in the next coming years as well for Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Treaty were, I suppose, the phoenix rising from the ashes of what was Limerick FC. A lot of similar people were involved in it. A lot of similar players came out of Limerick FC and went straight into Treaty. And they've had the platform. The Markets Field is still the home of soccer mm-hmm. in the county when it comes to playing at this level. And, you know, it was a new thing for League of Ireland to come down here. Look, there's obviously soccer has been played in the county for umpteen years, but League of Ireland was that new experience at senior level. And, you know, season one, it was kind of like, you know, when will we see Kerry get a win? They managed to get one. Then it was, when are they going to win at home? Maybe when will they get two going into second season? And then, you know, year three, you know, you're challenging, what is it, 9 out of the last 11 games they've played, they're unbeaten in really good form, and you've got all the way to a cup semi-final. So, like, for a club to get there, you know, at this stage of the competition, you know, it's encouraging. And look, you look at last season, you know, the game against Bohemians, I mean, that could have gone either way against, you know, a very well-respected League of Ireland club that have been in the Premier Division for umpteen years as well. Like, you know, it is showing the encouragement. And, you know, in year three, you're already challenging and potentially challenging for a cup as well. So look, it's great to see, and God only knows now what could happen on Sunday.
Yeah, it's there is an air of excitement amongst the Kerry supporters and even people around the county. I see, again, driving into Tralee today, all the Kerry flags out by business, the Kerry FC flags, obviously the green and gold and the green and white and everything. It's, you know, it is great to see that the people are getting behind this. And I think, you know, the fact, again, being on national television is huge for people who, you know, First Division doesn't get the most amount of coverage, mightn't have heard a huge amount about Kerry FC or settling in after your dinner on Sunday. And next thing they're on the television. It's all good for the, wasn't even the commercial aspect of the club, but sort of the brand of the club, the brand of the club, the brand of the, you know, the people around it and everything else. It's just everything kind of, it's, you kind of feel that no matter the result, it's going to be kind of a successful story, if you kind of get my drift.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, like, Kerry are on national television on Sunday evening in a cup semi-final. It's nothing to be taken lightly. It's a fantastic achievement to get here. And, like, you look at the other three teams that are in the hat there, you know, you have Patson and Cork City in the other semi-final, and obviously Shamrock Rovers. Like, you know, they've been used to this stage of the competition for years. They've been used to getting to the final and coming out on the right side of results as well. So, like, these are days that, you know, they live for as well, and they've been buzzing around. And, you know, as you mentioned, like, it is a new experience for Kerry supporters to, I suppose, experience this, and going up to a stadium like Tala and I suppose feeling that, you know, the Shamrock Rovers supporters are a rowdy bunch. Like, they're really noisy. They really get behind their team, you know, really have built on that, you know, that football culture in the club over the last few years. And, you know, I suppose Rovers themselves had a couple of years there where, you know, they were struggling to win league titles. Like, they, you know, 2011 was the last time they won it prior to picking one up in 2020. And, you know, like, when it comes to the FAI Cup, like, they were the record holders. You know, the last time they won it was 2019. And before that, you have to go all the way back to 1987. So, you know, they've had ups and downs as well. But look, Rovers are Rovers for a reason, and look, the success that Kerry can get off this is going to be huge as well. And it's definitely shown a lot that, you know, when Kerry beat Sligo, a lot of people were like going, oh, that's fantastic for Irish soccer to see a club that, you know, no one expected to get to this stage of a competition, that it's not the, I suppose, the same old teams that are competing at this stage of the competition year on year.
Yeah, and probably a good thing for the cup as well, and the whole magic of the cup sort of story to have Kerry going to Tala. Look, I suppose, Dermot, like, you know, you look ahead to a game like this, you have to look at the David versus Goliath aspect of it. It is the team who are, I think, 1 point off winning the Premier Division. They're in the Conference League starting this Thursday away to Slavia Prague, and coming back to Tala Stadium to take on a Kerry FC side who are second from bottom in the First Division. We do believe in miracles, and we've witnessed miracles now over the last couple of weeks, but, you know, to put it in simple terms, Shamrock Rovers are heavy favourites going to this one. And I think, despite coming back from 3-0 down, if you want to call that a miracle, I think Kerry getting a result up here probably would be a miracle. But again, getting in there, enjoying it, getting the players out, getting that experience, you know, the result mightn't be the huge end point of it.
Yeah, like, this is David and Goliath in Goliath's home turf. Like, this is, you know, climbing Mount Everest in terms of trying to get a result for Kerry. Like, they are the minnows coming into this. But I suppose that's a good thing as well. You know, they can go in and they can just play their brand of football and try and get the result out of it and just go in there and say, look, put any fears or any nerves we have to bed and just try and put in a performance the same as they put in Mount Hawk Park on a Friday night or wherever they're going around the first division. Look, Rovers have been there for a reason. Like, look, you see where they got all the way last year. They got to the knockout stages of the Conference League. They were over in Stamford Bridge taking on Chelsea along the way. So, like, the experience that this Shamrock Rovers team have had, and like a manager like Stephen Bradley at the helm as well. Like, they've built on the success over these last few years, and I suppose they're still growing, they're still developing. You know, I suppose like last year people said, oh, maybe we're Shamrock Rovers in a bit of a transition, that they didn't get a league title because of Damien Duff's Shelburne, but like, they were still a fantastic team. Their European success was fantastic for the country and just for Irish soccer in general to have a team competing in Europe. But like, Shamrock Rovers are going to be heavily backed to get a result here. But as you mentioned, look, they are out Thursday night as well. What team are they going to field on Sunday? Look, they've got so much depth as well, but it will be interesting. Look, a break of a ball could go anyway. Longford played them in the cup in Talla, and it wasn't exactly a fantastic performance by any means for Shamrock Rovers to get over the line that day. So look, we do believe in miracles.
We do believe in miracles. Met you today at the press conference, of course, and the build-up to us, Colin, and of course Captain Sean McGrath and Vice Captain Ronan T in chatting. There was no kind of sense of fear from any of them going in. They said there was excitement amongst the group. There was, you know, no nervousness according to the players. They're just, you know, taking it in as another game. You know, you listen to that kind of stuff, you kind of say, is that sort of, you know, trained into them or whatever to say those sort of things? But you genuinely feel that, you know, the Kerry team are just going to go up there and enjoy the occasion, play the game. You know, what happens, happens. Fingers crossed it's a good result. But, you know, it seems from today and listening to even Colin and listening to the two players that, you know, they're just going to go up and play it on their terms and play the game plan that they want to play as well, which is great.
Yeah, I think they are. Like, listening to Sean and Ronan today, I'd say they were the coolest men in the room. Like, they were not feeling any pressure and, you know, putting the tough questions to the two boys. Like, you know, like Ronan was like, you know, there's no fear, like, going into this game. And, you know, look, there's probably nerves with any game. I'm sure like the lads might feel a bit nervous when they're coming out in front of a Mount Hawk crowd on a Friday night, or whether they're going away to whoever it is. So I think it's just part and parcel with sport. You are going to get nervous on a couple of occasions. Obviously, look, Talla Stadium is going to be the biggest venue that they've played in such a short space of time, and I think the boys have to go out and enjoy it. And I think that's a good mentality for them to have as well, that you're going into a game against a team like Shamrock Rovers and you're just trying to put as much noise as you can behind you and just say, look, we're going to come out, play the game, get it over and done with. We're not going to worry too much about who we're playing. We just know what we're going to have to do. And I suppose stick to the game plan, and Colin's going to be doing a lot of work during the week along with the other coaches, just try and get the boys ready for Sunday. And look, I suppose, like I said, it's great to see that the lads are having that mentality and just laid back, chill, cool customers. And I hope they'll enjoy the experience. It doesn't come around too often that you get to play in a stadium like Talla. So hopefully, look, it'll be a great experience for everyone involved with the club.
How influential has Colin Healy been on this cup run, Dermot, for Kerry FC since he's come in? You know, we've seen probably an upturn maybe in performance, still waiting to see what he does maybe in the transfer window in January ahead of a new season. But what he's done with a team that kind of he inherited that wasn't his, probably nothing short of amazing. And sort of that, so I think he said today about, you know, never giving up, and to have no excuse at the end of the game as to why you were beaten, only maybe beaten by a better team. So what is his kind of maybe mentality and his coaching brought to Kerry FC that we've seen them now get to a cup semi-final?
Yeah, look, I suppose Colin coming in, like, it was obviously going to be, look, what's going to be you know, the way forward. I suppose when the news broke that morning that he was taken over as Kerry FC manager, I think a lot of eyebrows were raised that someone of his stature and profile was coming into the club. You know, he's had a fantastic career as a player and now coming into management as well. He's done Trojan work where he's been, and look, he was out of the game for a while, and I suppose he was hungry and ambitious to come in, and listening to the lads from their point of view, like the levels in terms of training and everything has gone up. The boys are doing, I suppose, more sessions. Their levels have gone up, and now you can see the performance on the field. They're creating more chances. They're proving more tough to beat. You know, Colin reflected on the Sligo game once again today and just said, like, the mentality and the fitness levels that the lads showed, you know, to come from 3-0 down. And, you know, look, I suppose he wasn't shy in saying that they had to make changes, and there was words said, and, you know, he just wants players to take it on board. And I suppose when you're, you know, 2-0 down at half time in a cup game at home, and then you go down 3-0, you know, it's either fight or flight. You don't want players to kind of shy away from it, and that's not what they showed that night. They made the changes, came back from 3-0 down and won it 4-3, and I suppose that's just what he's brought in for the players. He's brought in his style of management, and that's what he wants to do, and the players have really bought into what he wants to do, and they're constantly growing. So I think it is positive signs ahead, and he did bring in a couple of great additions in the transfer window that we saw in the summer as well, his first one with the club. So it'd be interesting just to see who can come in now in the new season. I suppose, as we spoke about there, like the brand image of the club, like, you know, Kerry FC are now competing and competing with the big boys in Shamrock Rovers this weekend, and, you know, can showcase, you know, if we can get another season under our belts, we could be challenging for the playoffs now in the first division.
Yeah, just before I let you go, Dermot, I just got a text in from a listener there. It says, in relation to Kerry FC, how many players are from teams in Kerry soccer clubs? Obviously, when a player moves from I think the person might be relating to maybe a Kerry District League team. Obviously, you sign for Kerry FC then. But if the question is how many players come from Kerry, I can tell you it's quite a huge number, and probably I'm open to correction this year, Manon, and this could be out there. But I think of all the teams, even take the First Division, even Premier Division, actually technically speaking, I'd say Kerry is probably the most represented by county where the club is in compared to anyone else. I think of the last game. Against Sligo Rovers, I think 6 of the 11 on the field come the full time whistle were Kerry men. We've seen the captain, of course, is a man from Ballyduff. You know, vice captain is from the Iveragh Peninsula in Cara Savine. You look at the Finn Barrett, another Kerry man. I don't even want to start listing names because there's so many. Luke Doolan, the young Clarny man, have to come in from Clarny Athletic. Like, that Kerry dynamic hasn't been lost in the team. And to be fair, some of the key men, you saw Cian Broston score 2, Daniel Akute got the winner against Sligo Rovers on the way. Cian Broston got the goal against Cove Ramblers as well. Kennedy Amechi got the goal, might be over the border in Cork. We can't claim a Mallow man, but you know, the local lads have kind of set the groundwork for this team over the last 3 years, and those men, no more so than anyone else, deserve the limelight of going to Talla and playing and wearing their own Kerry County jersey for Kerry FC.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, like, you know, Shawnee's the captain, and today, like we were saying, you know, Sean was the second player that was ever signed by Kerry FC way back in 2023. And, you know, he was the local lad from Ballyduff. Had gone through a couple of different League of Ireland academies and represented Kerry locally as well as that. And, you know, just grew and showcased that what I suppose Kerry soccer can do. And obviously Ronan Tian as well today that spoke to us, you know, from the Iveragh Peninsula, played with Iveragh United, came through the Kerry schoolboys, and now he's playing at the top level in League of Ireland soccer. So it is great to see. We've seen so many players come through the structures that have been in place in Kerry, and you look, like, there's still players that are involved. I think was it 6 of the team that played Cove that opening night are still involved, and yeah, a couple of more Kerry lads have come in as well, I suppose, since that pathway was created for them, and the springboard that it's there as well. And I suppose it is ironic as well that you look at Shamrock Rovers, and Shamrock Rovers have a Kerry man as well in their in their midfield. And I was going to pose that question to Ron and Tian today. It's like, you know, how are you going to feel when you come up against a man who's played schoolboy soccer, captained a Kerry Kennedy Cup squad, and he's actually on your, you know, your opposing team on the day. So that's going to be a little narrative in itself to see will Gary O'Neill feature on Sunday against Kerry FC. That's going to be an exciting one. But no, look, there's so many Kerry players that have come through. Even you look at the players that have come through since the academies, the 20s and stuff like that. But no, like, look, Ronan played the last night, and you know, even shout out to Dara Foley as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Dara was on the bench for countless games and got his chance when Matthew Connor got injured. And look, he's grabbed it with two hands. And you know, he could be starting against Shamrock Rovers on Sunday. We just don't know what way Matthew's injury has gone, whether he will feature. But like, that's great to see that a man from Killorgan who's come through their structure and come through the Kerry FC Academy is now getting his chance to line out between the posts at just 19 years of age.
Yeah, and not forgetting Ryan Kelleher, of course, as well, who's out with a season-long injury, how he'd love to be playing against Shamrock Rovers, the Clary man. Do you remember, we're completely out of time. Thanks a million for joining us. Enjoy the game next Sunday. I'm sure we might have you on next Monday, hopefully celebrating a Kerry FC win, and looking forward to the Aviva Stadium. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, Ivan.
Thank you, Dermot. That's Dermot there chatting all things Kerry FC. We'll be back and we're heading to Brusna after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Hey, Ivan, can confirm that Maria Cork was going for goal in the Gael match against Fionnuala St. Siddons. Thanks very much for firming up on that. Dan left us on a bit of a cliffhanger on that one, so thanks for confirming it, and a great goal of course it was. Now time to head to Brusna, and 50 years since they reformed the club in Brusna this weekend. There must be something with the years ending in fives, Jimmy McAuliffe, because we've had North Kerry, we've had East Kerry, we've had St. Paul's Basketball, Ballyhard Dynamos. There seems to be something about a year that ends in five that brings out all these anniversaries.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Ivan, everything good starts in 1975, especially in Brusna.
Yeah. Talk to me a small bit about what's, I suppose, how the club might have changed in the last 50 years. Fantastic facilities out in Brusna now.
They really are, Ivan. Like we'll say, this weekend, what we're actually having is a double celebration. Because we have, like you said, we have the 50th anniversary of the reformation of the club. We'll say we've records going back to 1880, that there used to be football played here in Brusna. Mm-hmm. But then we'll say the modern club that we're dealing with now was reformed in 1975. And then we also have the official opening of our new club facilities. We've decked the new gym, the dressing rooms, and we put in a big walking track as well this year. So the place is looking absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
This whole week, Ivan, there's been people painting, cleaning, putting up pictures, putting up plaques. There's been deadly activity around the place, you know?
I thought the Concarton was the biggest weekend in Brusna, but I'd say this weekend my top is Jimmy Willis.
We're hoping, Ivan. The Concarton did fantastic stuff this year, actually. It went great, but we're hoping this weekend will be absolutely hopping, Ivan, you know? So we're starting Thursday night, Ivan. We're going to have your mass in the clubhouse, and then Tom Roach, a local historian, he's going to give a talk on the history of Brusna. And then Friday, we're going to play the Concarton Memorial Club Cup against our neighbours, Rockchapel. After that, then, we have a great band. Mike O'Brien is playing live in the Sportsfield Bar at 10 o'clock that night, and we'll have the Man of the Match presentation then after that. We'll say Saturday, fair play to Brusna Corn and Oak, they've put on a huge blitz. We're going to have under 8, under 12 and under 14 football blitz.
Brilliant.
All that day. And then another great band, No Strings Attached, you might know them, Ivan.
They played at my wedding, would you believe it, last year.
That's exactly what I was getting at, Ivan. So they're playing live in Kate Pat's Bar at 10 o'clock Saturday night. They're absolutely fantastic, you know. And then, of course, Sunday then is our big day. We'll have a family fun day Sunday where everyone is invited to come. You know, that's starting about 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be face painting, a tractor run, loads of games and activities for the kids. And then we'll have Jared Burns, the president of GAA, is coming to help.
Brilliant.
Open us. Yeah. And then our own man, Tim Murphy, Munster GAA chairperson. And then, of course, the great Jack O'Connor.
Brilliant. So, you know, a fantastic weekend planned. And, you know, I suppose, Jimmy, when I look at these things, we dagged in Flesk on with the Flesk Fest as well earlier on this year. Like, you know, it just goes to show how important the GAA club is in the rural community in Ireland, and especially in Kerry and in North Kerry and the likes of Brusna. A lot of the, I suppose, the the talk in the pubs and the people go out the weekends is to do with the GA club, and if it wasn't there, there'd be a huge hole in the community. And it's nice to be able to get put on, you know, a weekend like this, maybe to give back to those in the community who mightn't come to every game but are proud members of the Brusna community.
And that's exactly it, Ivan. Exactly it. You know yourself, the GAA is the backbone in most rural communities, you know, and that's what people talk about the whole time. And that's exactly this weekend is about giving back to all those people who've supported us down through the years. You know, we've got great support with our Brusna GAA Lotto and our membership, which is also the backbone of most local clubs, you know. So, and also, Ivan, actually this weekend, we'll say the Saturday and Sunday, we have a carnival coming. For the first time, I'd say, since I was a young lad, it must be the first time in 30 years. And that's free to everyone as well. Well, that'll be from Saturday 5 o'clock to nine and Sunday 5 o'clock to nine. So if you want to come out and give a go at the old bumper cars, Ivan, you're more than welcome.
I'll be on the way to Tala on Sunday, but I might come out Saturday.
I was about to say it, Ivan, you're a PR of another side of Brusna. You're a PR of another side of Kerry excitement. And you do great, Ivan.
Might stop on the way for an old spin on the Dodgems. Look, Jimmy, a pleasure chatting to you, and look, fantastic, and best luck to everybody out in Brusna this weekend. Again, it's a fantastic success story and continued success to everybody in Brusna and in Brusna GAA, a proud parish right kind of on the borderlands of Cork and Limerick, of course, there. We have to head to news at 7 o'clock. Thanks again to Jimmy for joining us, and we'll be back after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
It's a lovely rendition of that.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, and it's always an exciting night when we head into October, and we can look forward to the Training with the Stars event, of course, in aid of the fantastic school that is, of course, St. Francis Special School in Beaufort. And to tell us all about the event, and we've heard it the last couple of years, but I never get sick of talking about it, delighted to be joined by Gino Sullivan, one of the main organisers of it, and we've hosts of the different stars in the studio and in the studio next door as well, so she's well able to gather up the sports people of Kerry. If I think you could produce this programme for us, Jimmy, get them all in nearly every week chatting to us. But welcome to all of you, first and foremost, I suppose. Gina, I suppose a small bit about the event first before we go on and talk to some of these Kerry legends that are in the studio with us as well, and what it's all about.
So I suppose our event, it's taking place on Saturday at the Kinmare Shamrocks GAA grounds. It's Training with the Stars, and I suppose a synopsis of it really is it's the future Kerry players getting their opportunity to train with the present Kerry Stars, you know. So it's a fun day out. It's just fun and football and hurling, laughing. Sam Maguire is going to be there. We have some of the most amazing stars from all around the county taking part, all rowing in for our wonderful school, St. Francis Special School in Beaufort. And we are just blown away by the response and the support, as always. There is such a special unity there within the GAA community for our most vulnerable in the county. It's fabulous to see so many come on board for us, and we are just praying for dry weather, for a good day. And I'm appealing to everyone at this tonight, please put out the Child of Prague for us. I think if we had to cancel the event now like we did last year, I would just throw in the towel.
You had a bit of a storm last year, Gene, didn't you, to kind of postpone it? It's tough in those kind of things. So fingers crossed the October weather will look after you this weekend. It is a great initiative. And I mean, you know, for obviously all right raising money for the school, but it gives a great chance for youngsters in the county to be coached by some of our best to be produced as well.
Absolutely. I think if I had that opportunity back in the day, I would have jumped at it, loved it. I won't mention who my favourite player at the time was, because that's a bit like Sophie's choice. But in fairness, like it is, it's amazing. There's such excitement there. You know, the clubs have been anxious there now during the week, and even our local club there, some of the youngsters, I met them during the week and they were like, oh, who's going to be training us? Who do we have? What are we doing? You know, and it's there's fierce excitement. It's like their own, I suppose, their own little opportunity, like I said, to play with their Kerry heroes. And but like for us in our school, for me, like I suppose I feel it's like our own little All-Ireland. Like even though all the different clubs are there in their own attire, their own jerseys, and there'll be a massive, they'll be donning the green and gold or the blue jersey, I suppose, you know, from the All-Ireland this year. But like, it's like everybody's there for the one cause, and it's for all the fabulous children from St. Francis Special School. I suppose this event kind of came to me, the whole idea for Training with the Stars, because my own Baeen, he's from the parish of Tussist, he's an honorary Beaufort man now, and I suppose not every child from our school is from the parish of Beaufort or the or from Beaufort. So I looked at this and I thought, each child is from a club. You know, they have their own club, and many clubs over the years have said to me how they know somebody that attends our school, or they have a sibling of someone attending our school. So, you know, it's all the clubs rocking in for the children. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Colin, how important is the fundraiser for the school? I mean, look, we've been chatting to Jean now the last couple of years. It's probably a good few years now, Jean, is it? It's on, you're heading for your, is this the fourth or fifth year of it?
I'm heading for a job here now, actually.
You're getting the close. It's hugely important, Colin. I'd imagine it's one of the big ones every year, and it's so well advertised between social media and here and the papers and everything else. It must be a great publicity for the school as well.
Absolutely, yeah, and we're so grateful to Jean for all she does, fundraising, and I suppose raising the profile of the school as well. But like you say, it is massive for our school. The children who attend the school, I suppose, are very vulnerable in a lot of ways. So it's great to see everybody who rose in behind them. I know last year the funds that were raised, even though the event didn't go ahead, there was a lot of money raised, and it actually provided support for the children during the summer months when the school isn't open. So when the school is open, or when the school isn't open, I should say, it obviously leaves a big void in the routines of the children, and they are dependent on their routines. So I suppose it was such a great achievement, I suppose, for Jean to, I suppose, provide support for the kids during the summer. So it was brilliant.
Yeah, and as a school, it's obviously it's a busy day to day and everything else. This might be a nice thing to kind of take people's minds off of when you're working with Jean and getting all this kind of fundraising going as well. It's a great kind of maybe side mission to what the school is doing on a day to day basis as well.
Absolutely, it's great excitement. As I say, it's amazing. Like every child in the county that's going to be attending now on Saturday is looking forward to going down to meet the Kerry Stars. And likewise, Jean has given pride of place to the children in our school. So the first session is kind of set aside for a few of our children to go down, meet the heroes. So, of course, it's great excitement for any child to go out and meet the Kerry Stars.
Yeah, I'm sure there's good build-up around the school, I'd imagine, for it as well, and great excitement.
It's brilliant, yeah. even Sam Maguire was around the place just last week. So like every school in the county, sure, there's nothing better. Yeah, it's so exciting for the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Graham, I'm going to start with you as well. I suppose, first of all, congratulations from all of us here. I suppose the All-Ireland excitement's died down now, so it's great to be able to get out and do these sort of things. I'm sure when Jean picks up the phone to you, it's very hard to say no.
Oh God, yes. You'd never be saying no. The first thing would always be yes when you get the call. It's an amazing thing to be taking part with. It was at the top half a great year this year now, getting to go down with a bit of silverware too. I'm lucky enough that I work in St. Oliver's, so I get to see a lot of these amazing children every day, and some of them have progressed on out to Beaufort. So when you get the call, look, it's great to get involved. They're amazing kids with a load of amazing ability, and to just be able to give back in this small little way is brilliant.
Yeah, and I suppose from kind of your perspective as well, looking at the underage and kind of bringing them up, and you know, it's a great way for the clubs to get out there and get trained by yourselves as well. It's kind of a unique enough opportunity. Oftentimes we're maybe sheltered away from inter-county football or small, but maybe within your own club. But you know, for those to be able to go out and meet you as well, it's a great day for them, and again, all raising vital money for the school.
It is, yeah. I remember as a young fella, I'd eat your hen just even nearly look at Declan Sullivan back in the club in the day. So for kids getting to come out here and see the likes of Shawnee and so many other footballers, it's unreal. They get a taste of what it's like to see how these fellas train and what kind of things they do, and get maybe ask a couple of questions, get a bit of inside knowledge off some people. And again, all for a great cause. So you're getting the double whammies. Kids get to go out and experience a great day of football and training, of hurling, football, whatever's going on there, as well as raising really valuable funds.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, all the sweeter being able to bring Sam Maguire down to these things as well. You've been touring around the county in plenty of club games. You've been kept busy.
Yeah. Sure, it's great. Like, it's a great complaint to have Sam going around the place. You know, we taught in 22, it's going to happen again, and it doesn't, so it just makes it more special when you do win it. And of course, getting to get back in with the club there with Drummond, it's great. They've always been so good over the years, myself and likewise all the other clubs around the county, to their inter-county players. They always look after us, so we're always really appreciative of them as well.
Absolutely. Luke Rochford also with us, of course, well known in the hurling circles. Luke, it's great, I suppose, to have the I suppose both the hurling and the football from your perspective, and obviously getting the hurling lads down there as well. It's you know, great for the North Kerry side to head down to Kinmare to help these kids out as well.
Yeah, of course. What an unbelievable day it's going to be. All for a worthy cause, of course, and it's called Training with the Stars, but the real stars are the children there, do you know. We're going to be doing training sessions with the different teams and drills and giving them tips, and hopefully it'll inspire the younger generation that are there to wear the green and gold someday as well.
Yeah, it is great to see kind of the inter-county, you know, sort of, as they say, stars, that the players, you know, giving their time to go down to this sort of thing, Luke, and a lot of dedication. I know it's kind of one day, but it is a lot of out of your time. It's a Saturday and everything else. So it just goes to show kind of maybe what kind of a worthy cause it is for you to be able to go down and actually, you know, show your support for it as well.
Yeah, of course. It's actually funny. My Tim, Jean's brother, taught me in secondary school in recent years. So it's just something small to give back, of course, for an unbelievable cause in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Not forgetting the ladies, of course, as well. Amy, fresh from an appearance in the All-Ireland Camogie final, unfortunately, just didn't go your way on the day up there. But again, looking forward to maybe looking at the young Camogie stars of the future in Kinmare.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the All-Ireland didn't go our way on the day. But funnily enough, I actually got asked to do the Training with the Stars the day after on our little homecoming. So it was actually Jean Tim's sister and niece came over to Kilflen after making the trip from Kinmare to Croke Park the day previous. So
she had a job on her mind to get you to come to Training with the Stars.
Yeah, they said, would I get involved? And of course, I jumped on the opportunity. Because you know what? It's nice to turn your attention to something else. The All-Ireland didn't work out, but I suppose it shows you the importance of sport. And it's not about, I suppose, a day in Croke Park. It's about giving back to your community and the Stars of the future. So.
Yeah, and like, you are great role models. Like, you know, we watch you in Croke Park or on the telly or wherever it might be. And, you know, you're in here, you're going to be able to give time back. It is important, I suppose, to have that sort of link back to the community and these sort of things as well. And it's so obvious even tonight that you're not doing it just for your own kind of profiles. You're doing it for, you know, the good of the, you know, the school, the good of the event itself, and for Jean as well. It is fantastic to see, and it probably takes maybe that kind of mask off that we might think are on inter-county stars, be it Camogie ladies football, men's football, hurling, whatever it is. You know you are, you know, natural people, and you are wanting to give your own time as well.
Of course, yeah, of course. The dedication that Jean Tim has shown to, I suppose, getting this show on the road for year after year, it's a no-brainer really to get involved when you're asked.
Yeah. Just one more on the All-Ireland. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but you had a starring role, Amy, right through the championship and into the final as well. There was obviously disappointment straight after it, but, you know, awfully a very, very strong side as well. I'm sure you'll be back next year hoping to be favourites going to the intermediate.
I suppose so. Hopefully to back up, I suppose. We had a good campaign. It wasn't a successful year on the day, but I suppose the success story coming out of Kerry at the moment in Camogie circles is the amount of clubs popping up here and there. Yeah. Growing up, I actually started with the boys at under-12s and then went on to a club. There was only two or three in the county, and now Kianmara below in Kinmare are just one of the new clubs that are popping up. So it'll be great to see girls now coming out with their hurlies on the 4th in Kinmare.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cuíve Evans, our last one of this batch, will be going for an ad break shortly and heading to another. Cuíve, I suppose, again, from your perspective, I suppose the importance of picking up that call from Jean and helping out for this event, it is great.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I mean, when Jean picked up the phone and got in contact with me, it was a no-brainer. You know, when I heard it was for St. Francis Special School, like, you know, and all the work that Jean does to get everyone involved, and it's a credit to her. And I was lucky enough to be involved 2 years ago with Training with the Stars, and I was just blown away at how great the day was and how successful it ran. And even on a personal level, my two brothers were brought down with a group from Kiel GA, and to this day they still talk about how great and how much fun they had on the day. So, you know, really looking forward to it now, and the countdown is on to Saturday.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely brilliant. Just to touch on the Kerry ladies here, I suppose a small bit of disappointment towards the end. They didn't kind of make it over the last couple of hurdles, but again, kind of under new management and everything, you'd be looking forward to next year.
Yeah, really looking forward to next year. And I suppose, look, we had a great year considering, but obviously the semi-final, just it didn't go our way, and that's sport at the end of the day. But look, we'll pick ourselves up and we'll go again next year.
Absolutely, as the ladies always do, in fairness. You're a battling bunch and always there and thereabouts. Lads, we'll take a break. We'll clear a couple of lads out from here and we'll bring in a few more, and we have a few more stars on the phone as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Radio, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. The evening's flying by when you've got so many great Kerry sports people in amongst the studio. A few more on the phone as well, and a few in studio with us. We've of course got Ron Donovan with us now as well. Ron, you're welcome along again. I suppose I've been talking to the lads there about kind of, you know, what made you kind of pick up the call to Gene. It is a fantastic event, and I think, you know, once again, it's kind of those kind of inter-county stars, the minors, whatever it may be, that come true, that they're able to go down and give a hand out to this event.
Oh yeah, 100%. Well, when I heard from Mum anyway, because Jean got on to my mother and she said, would I do it? My sister goes to Beaufort School. So I said, kind of, I give my own piece on, like, how it is for a sibling and how it affects family, like, the money that's raised. Aoife, my sister, runs off a routine, a very strict routine, and when that's disrupted, it kind of messes up for her. And especially when someone's able to come in, it kind of helps a lot, because for most primary school kids, especially, summer's kind of the best part of the year, because, like, they go to meet up with their friends. But with a person with needs, and especially my sister, like, when she breaks her routine, it's just a nightmare for her. Mm-hmm. So it's very helpful now that we can get people in, and it gives Mum and Dad a break from when they can focus on themselves for a bit.
Yeah, and like, and again, what kind of Gene's probably doing, and that money that's being raised does all go back into that kind of kitty, doesn't it, of that kind of maybe respite and everything else with what the St. Francis Special School in Beaufort is doing.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%. And I feel like, you know, you wouldn't really know other perspectives for other families, but especially with how it works for us, respite and getting someone in to actually mind Aoife, it's like the best thing that could happen for us, because it gives the whole family a break as well, because there's a lot of folks that need to go into her.
Yeah, and you know, it's probably something, Ron, that we're kind of listening to there now in your kind of story, and saying that, you know, it's your, you know, it's in your family and stuff like that, and maybe like some of us aren't in that situation. So kind of hearing that really kind of brings it all back down to earth, really, and kind of listening to what the inter-county players were saying there, and kind of giving their time so much. It is something that affects a lot of people in the county as well.
Yeah, no, I feel like another thing about this event, it kind of brings light to the problems of people, like families, mm-hmm. With a member of needs. It kind of brings light to the problems that actually happen in like a daily household, because you wouldn't have that with any other kind of problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Tim's come in as well. You got a good mention from Luke Rochford there, saying that you used to be his teacher. I don't know what sort of a student he was now, but you used to be teaching here in town.
I was trying anyway, but no, he's a great kid.
I think that's a lot of us trying to just go through school as best we can. I suppose, again, from your kind of perspective and the training with Stars, what does the whole of it mean to you?
Look, it's phenomenal. Look, I suppose having Michael as my nephew, you know, we see kind of what you know, is required on a day-to-day basis, and kind of, you know, all the resources that are needed. And look, when Gene kind of took on the training to Stars, it was a fantastic initiative. And like, to be fair, she's doing huge amounts of work in the background. She's always praising me for things, but I don't be doing nothing, to be honest. You know, I just turn up in the day and throw out a few cones, and, you know, but the work she does is phenomenal, you know. And we really can't thank enough the footballers and all the Stars, for, you know, all the camogie players, the male, female, everyone giving their time, you know, on the day, because to them it might be a small thing, but for the young kids who are 10, 11, 12, it's a huge thing. Just to, you know, get a bit of advice, a bit of bloody, I suppose, praise, a bit of feedback, you know. So it's a huge thing in their lives, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and look, from Kerry, or Radio Kerry as well, look, the promoting you do as well. So it really is appreciated. So I want to say, look, thanks on behalf of everyone for that.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And I have Gene and the team on every year without fail. Just on that, I suppose we've got two more lads on the line. I'm conscious of these lads' time is of the essence. So Fionn O'Sullivan, you're there, of course, the Kerry hurler from Kinmare. Obviously, Fionn, look, it's great that, you know, happening in your backyard as well, and a great experience for you to be able to go out and coach these kids for a number of hours on Saturday.
It is, yeah, like the lads were saying there, like, I actually look forward to this hugely every year, and any fella, any of the Kerry boys or the outside lads that have come from other counties to give a hand, and they actually, even if it's their first time doing it, they can't wait to come back the next year, because they've had such a good day. They see what it means to the kids, and then they actually see where the money is going in the school that it's going to. Obviously, we have an hour with the kids from St. Francis first thing Saturday morning, like, and that's nearly the most enjoyable part, seeing them on the pitch for the hours, like having a great time kicking a football around the place or poking a slitter around the place. Like, they just have such a great morning, and then you're down to the work with the different clubs, like, that get to train with their so-called heroes. So, like, it's a great day out. Like, everyone just loves it. Loves what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose from your own perspective, getting the hurlers out again, it's great to get your inter-county lads down with you there as well, and get the balls pucky again. It's been a while since we've seen hurlies and slitters using the county. I'm sure you'd be glad to have it out in your hand as well next Saturday.
I was, yeah. We actually had a game there against Dr. Cox yesterday, so we might be too bad. We might be too rusty by next weekend, but it's great there having Luke Doan and Tom Doyle and Eric Lean and couple of lads from Tipperary coming down as well. They won another in this year, like, so it's great to have them down as well now. Yeah. And we might rope in one or two more fellas before the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a great day out, in fairness.
No, brilliant, Fionnuala. That's great. And last but not by no means least, we've got Kerry star, of course, Shawnee Shea. He's on the line as well. Shawnee, you're welcome along to the programme. I'm sure you've been listening to what the other lads have been saying. I'm sure you're going to go on and echo their sentiments. But I'm sure once Jean picked up the phone to head to Kinmare, you couldn't say no.
Yeah, 100%. It's always a great weekend in the calendar. We really look forward to get such a big game down to Father Wynne Park and to Mayor and see everyone out playing football and hurling is great. So it's certainly a great weekend, and you know, credit to Jean for the work she puts in and the time and effort, because it's for such a good cause as well. So we're delighted to be taking part.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose from your own perspective, Shawnee, it's been a busy couple of months, obviously, after landing Sam Maguire, and then you've been back in with the club and into county championships as well, but you're still able to find some time for this as well, which is great to see.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a busy couple of months. Back to school and stuff as well at the moment, so it's nice to get the bit of routine back. But we're playing on Sunday in the county championship, so we're looking forward to the weekend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It all comes part and parcel with it. Shawnee, thanks very much for that. We're just so conscious of the time. Jean, I suppose just finally to you, I suppose just once again, I suppose maybe for people at home that, you know, aren't involved with a club or whatever, plenty of ways to donate to the school, I'd imagine, and to the fund.
So we have our page on Facebook called Training with the Stars, and we have the I Donate link up on that. It's also up on the St. Francis Special School page. You know, we'd really appreciate it. Just if everybody could just donate the price of a cup of tea, we would be, it'd be absolutely blown away, I suppose. Mm. I want to reiterate Ruan's, you know, words there as well. Like, you know, it is so important, you know, for our children, the summer supports. And, you know, they have an absolutely amazing education setting. And Colin at the helm, all the staff, I mean, their educational needs are, like, my buy-in has flourished. Aoife and Michael are actually in the same class in school. And yeah. I saw them the other day and they are so happy. All the children are, you know, and I'll forever be grateful to everything that St. Francis Special School has done for our boy. You know, he loves them. They are his, like, once that bus is running in the morning. But look, I just want to say a big thank you to absolutely everybody that rocks in behind us, our stars, the people, you know, the children. It's amazing. The sentiment on the day, the fun, you know, it's just going to be such a fantastic day. Yeah. And like we are just so grateful at St. Francis School, and Colin will say the same. I mean, the way people support us is just absolutely amazing, and we are so grateful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Lads, we're completely out of time. This slot always flies every year. Continued success, Jean, to you. Looking forward to seeing all the clips and everything from it the weekend. And like that, again, this time next year, fingers crossed, I'll be heading on to another event. We have to go to a quick break, and we'll be heading to New York for the Ryder Cup after this.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
But were you like myself last night, up late watching the Ryder Cup, and that little bit of panic, I think, that set in across the island of Ireland, and of course across Europe as well, as the Ryder Cup was really on the line when it maybe shouldn't have been. But needless to say, Europe went on to win it, and who better than Offaly man Shane Lowry to score the decisive half point, which meant Europe went on to retain the cup, and only about maybe half an hour later went on to win it. Delighted to be joined by our regular golf enthusiast and journalist who was over at Betpage Black the weekend, all thanks to Halfpenny Golf, top brands, best prices. We're delighted to be joined by a regular name on Radio Kerry, that's Dennis Kerwin. Dennis, have you come down from the excitement of last night?
It was quite extraordinary, Ivan, in so many different ways. Just an incredible few days. And as you say, the whole nation was on tenterhooks, wondering if Europe were going to get over the line. And at one stage, it was looking as though it could potentially be similar to Brookline in 99. That was my first Ryder Cup. And, you know, Europe went into the singles with a 10-6 lead and saw their lead fritter away and ended up losing by 14.5, 13.5. And they went into the singles this year with a record 2-day haul of 11.5 points, and we thought it was just a matter of time before they got over the line, but it proved to be really, really difficult. But it was incredible what Shane Lowry managed to do. He was 2 down, I followed his match, Ivan, and he was 2 down to Russell Henley, who, remember, is the 3rd best golfer in the world at the moment, behind Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. And he hit incredible approach shots on 15, 16 and 18 to put himself into position to hold the winning putt at the Ryder Cup, and managed to do that. And what a brilliant thing to have on your CV as a golfer, to hold a winning putt in the Ryder Cup. Very, very few people have had that honour, but amazingly, quite a few Irish have had it. Paul McGinley did it at one stage, and Philip Walton did it. So Shane Lowry joins a great band of Irishmen who have done that.
He's a dance like his father as well. Us Kerry people are well aware of what Offaly did to us. I suppose, Dennis, we'll maybe start to start and work our way through. I suppose the first 2 days of action and the kind of the team play, the four balls and the foursomes, Europe was so, so strong. And that kind of team element we heard Luke Donald talk about in the build-up, that Europe has kind of founded off that kind of team effort and that team spirit. And golfers who might have been left out of the groupings and stuff came back in for the singles and came in for maybe one match as well. That kind of team spirit rightly shone through Europe. You could see that in the points they were putting on the board throughout Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing, the thing is, Ivan, they played remarkably good golf. I mean, is, you know, it wasn't a case of the Americans playing poorly. The Americans were playing, were giving it their best shot, and they were being literally, pardon the pun, out trumped by the Europeans. And it was a brilliant display over those few days. And you know, just looking at the stats there this morning, only two players remained unbeaten on either team in the entire Ryder Cup. One was Tyrrell Hatton, and the other was Shane Lowry. So, you know, there was plenty of points to and fro, but the likes of Tommy Fleetwood was brilliant. Matt Fitzpatrick came of age in this Ryder Cup. Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy dovetailed beautifully to win their match and have the other. And, you know, it was extraordinary. And I'm sure you're going to mention the backdrop of pure bile and hatred that was coming from the New York crowd. It was actually, it definitely crossed the line and was something that hopefully we'll never see in a Ryder Cup again. And I've never witnessed anything like it as a sporting event, Ivan, and I hope I never have to witness it again.
Yeah, just going to ask you about that, Dennis. Just on the ground, obviously, we were tuned in here at home and you could pick up a lot of it, and obviously the social media age that we live in, unless you're in Augusta, you're used to seeing what's coming from the grounds as well. Was it as bad as what's being made out, Dennis? And you know, you could maybe see it in kind of McIlroy at the end in the celebrations. He was somewhat muted for a while and he kind of got his own back inside in the press conference late last night as well. You know, I suppose the Ryder Cup has become synonymous now with this kind of cheering and jeering for the home team versus the away team. It's almost kind of part of it, but as you mentioned, it most definitely crossed the line.
It definitely did. I mean, you know, Ryder Cups are always partisan, Ivan, and we've seen that down through the years. And Rome was partisan as well, but it was partisan, it was good-humoured banter and good-humoured rivalry. This wasn't good-humoured. This was witless stuff. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, when you say, was it as bad as it has been made out, it was actually worse, because I witnessed it uphand, and I couldn't even begin to tell you some of the things that are being said to the players. It was absolutely horrific. And, I think the state troopers and the state police who were present needed to remove people from the crowd and have basically put down a marker over the park for a couple of days. But you can't be really surprised that it happened, because this Ryder Cup is 12 years in the making. They've been hyping this up for 12 years, Ivan. Mm-hmm. And everybody was saying that, you know, the New York sports crowd are among the most hostile in the world and the Europeans can expect a hostile reception. Well, you know, they got that and more. And as I say, it definitely crossed the line. I mean, you know, even Erica McIlroy didn't go out watching the golf yesterday, because the previous day she felt so intimidated. And, you know, she ended up getting a drink spilled over her. And people say it was thrown at her. I'm not sure that it was. I think it was a drink that was knocked out of somebody's hand. But it, some of the things that were said to Rory McIlroy, and incredibly, the lead person who was whipping up the crowd on the Saturday morning began their cheers with, you know, they had developed this cheer of F.U. Rory, and she was actually leading him in that. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad, she ended up losing her job that evening, and rightly so. It was disgraceful.
Yeah. Is it kind of hard to maybe get stamp that out now of the Ryder Cup, Dennis? I know, look, there's obviously, you can cross the line, and that's totally understandable, and you know, it shouldn't happen. But we have become used to this sort of, you know, Europe versus America, depending who's the home team, of kind of, you know, jeering on practice swings, and it's been kind of comparative. But then when it does cross the line, you know, how do we approach it now in 2 years' time? I know we're back at home and everything else, but, you know, has it maybe the atmosphere of a Ryder Cup maybe somewhat?
No, you know, in a funny sort of a way, I think it will actually help, in the sense that when it comes to Ireland the next time around, you know, Irish people in their nature, yes, they're partisan, but they are good-natured, and they do not, they certainly, the profanity that was used at different players, that would never happen at a European Ryder Cup. It just wouldn't. Maybe a very odd one, but they would be, you know, shot down by everybody else. They would say, well, that's unacceptable, and it would be self-policed. And I think that's what happens. But here, as I say, it just... It had almost become a self-fulfilling prophecy that this was going to happen, because it had been built up so much. So I don't think it will happen. And I think the next time it comes around in America, I think you will see there be it was a very light touch approach by the police. I think it could be much heavier. There'd be much heavier police presence, and people will be ejected if they do cross that line. And crossing the line, Ivan, includes, you know, shouting on somebody's backswing. That's it's just not on. And, you know, it's totally against the spirit of everything that golf was intended to be, which was, to a certain extent, a gentlemanly game. And there's no problem whatsoever in moving it into the new era. But the new era shouldn't include, you know, making catcalls in people's backswings and becoming extremely personal. I mean, some of the stuff that was said to Tommy Fleetwood as well was just completely and utterly unacceptable. And, it was psychological torture on the team, and to their eternal credit, they managed to rise above that and win the most hostile Ryder Cup on record, and to them, great credit must fall. But of course, the ultimate honour fell to Shane Lowry, and no better guy. What a way to celebrate. And you say he did a Seamus Darby style celebration after he got the winning point. But it was just what led up to that, and the four holes that led up to that. If Tiger Woods had done that, or Scottie Scheffler, or Rory McIlroy, people would be raving about it. He hit three of career iron shots into greens, set up a couple of birdies to get that half point and get them over the line. And it was one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed from an Irish sportsman over the 40 years or so that I've been covering sport.
Yeah. Talk to me a small bit about the singles. It might be where America are at their strongest. We know that they often talk that the team bond in amongst the Americans doesn't work well. So when they go out singly, they're strong. I listened to Keegan Bradley yesterday, and you know, he said that they were going to come out very, very strong on Sunday. They weren't defeated. And it, you know, it felt like after the scenes we witnessed on Saturday evening in Bethpage Black that Europe had this thing won. The fans were celebrating. And then all of a sudden, you know, it started off well for Europe. And then maybe after half an hour, we started to see red go on the board. At any point in the day, did you think there's, oh my God, there's even a bigger than something than Medina maybe after going to happen here? Just all the momentum was with America for a lot of the singles.
Like it was huge odds against. I think America were 66-1 going into the actual singles. But as you say, they excel when it comes to an individual basis. There were seven of the American players in the top 10 in the world, Ivan. And, you know, like, these are the best players in the world. And golf is essentially and quintessentially a singular game. It's very much a selfish game where, you know, generally speaking, you just have to worry about what you're doing and everybody else, you know, don't worry about them. When it comes to foursomes and four balls, it is slightly different. You're expected to dovetail. You're expected to work well with a partner. Scottie Scheffler proved he wasn't up to that. He was 0-4 in the four games. He lost every single one of them. But when it came to the, you know, singles, he managed to hold off Rory McIlroy and win his point, even though, as Rory McIlroy described, it was like a pillow fight between the two of them, because Rory McIlroy was generally out on his feet and Scottie Scheffler isn't playing his best. But yes, a lot of the players who, you know, you would expect to come to the fore and do well on an individual basis in the singles managed to do that. I didn't think they were ever going to lose it, but at one stage, yes, for a few minutes before Ludvig Åberg pulled away in his match, you would be thinking, well, you know, it's unlikely, but anything's possible. And it was great that they managed to pull it out of the fire, because they just, as I say, that half point from Shane Lowry was crucial, because if he hadn't won that half point, they may have struggled to get over the line.
Yeah, he is a great man to celebrate, is our Shane. Again, the social media channels have been full today of the famous songs on the bus again, which is after repeating itself after Rome 2 years ago. It is great for Irish sport, isn't it, Dennis? And I mean, obviously, look, you're looking forward now to not only just a Home Rider Cup for Europe, but a Home Rider Cup here in Ireland in a day, or only up over the county bounds from County Kerry, which is great. So I presume there'll be a very good golf boom. Golf is obviously such a popular sport here at home, and obviously we had the opening port rush as well on the island only a couple of months ago. So I'd imagine anyone who might have a set of golf clubs this morning is looking at them and might be thinking about dusting them off as well. It's great for the game of golf and the likes of Rory and Shane, and then having the Ryder Cup come here in 2 years. It's all great for the sport in Ireland.
It certainly is. Golf has been booming, and certainly got a big increase in participation during COVID, when it was one of the few occupations or sports that people could actually take part in, because you could go out on your own with a set of golf clubs, and you could quickly distance yourself from everybody else, and it became very, very popular. There was a huge spike in memberships, and then of course you've had the likes down through the years of Padraig Harrington, who's just been a wonderful ambassador for the game and indeed for the country. And then you've got Shane Lowry. And, of course, what can you say about Rory McIlroy? Rory McIlroy began the year with three goals. One was to win the Masters, two was to win an Away Ryder Cup, and three was to win an Olympic gold medal. Now, or an Olympic medal of any hue. Now, he's managed to achieve two of those three, and they were the goals he set for the rest of his career. So he only has to win an Olympic medal to have basically achieved everything he wants to have achieved in his career. So he is a huge role model. He's a big star, a genuine world-class player who is a massive celebrity worldwide. You've no idea the draw that this guy has. He got dog's abuse at Bethpage, because people felt obviously he was the one that they needed to try and quell, because he's so good. But as you say, golf is huge, and it's going to even be bigger in the next couple of years, Ivan, when the Ryder Cup comes to Adair Manor. All we can hope for now is a bit of decent weather, because the last time we had a Ryder Cup in Ireland in 2006, the heavens opened. So a bit of decent weather, and there's no better place to showcase golf in Ireland than Adair Manor. It's an incredible venue.
Yeah, it's almost like the countdown has now begun. I think there was a formal handover halfway through the singles matches yesterday between Bethpage and Limerick as well. That excitement now does rumble on, and there's already people on about getting tickets, and they want to be there. And 2 years might be a long time to wait, but it won't be long ticking by.
No, it won't. And it'll be interesting. The pricing is going to be interesting, Ivan. Remarkably, it was $750 a ticket to get into the Ryder Cup, and that was face value, which was unbelievable. Now, you got food, and you could have soft drinks and drinks, and there were stations all along the way, which is an interesting concept. But it's going to be an interesting pricing decision. Probably the guts at 350, I'd say, euros, maybe north of that for a ticket. It's an incredible sporting event. It really is one of the top sporting events in the world, and it's going to be a great venue. But, the countdown is on now. As you say, JP McManus was there yesterday with his daughter, Sue Ann, and they accepted the silver putter, which is the official handover of the Ryder Cup from Bethpage back in the USGA onto the European Tour and to JP. So, It's all systems go now for Adair in 2027.
Yeah, just before I let you go, Dennis, Bethpage Black is one of the most famous courses. There's the famous sign is for extremely skilled golfers. America seemed to make it a lot easier than what it should be. We've seen it maybe set up more difficult for majors and everything else. But just on your view, what was your experience there in New York? Obviously, there was so much spoke about the Ryder Cup and taking away the jeers and the disappointing elements of it. As a venue and everything else, it must have been second to none, was it?
Oh, it's an amazing golf course. Like, it really is genuinely an amazing golf course. They did a beautiful job in setting it up. And, it's fiendishly difficult. Like, I play off a relatively modest handicap. I'm 12, 13 handicapper. And I'd say I would do very, very well on a good day off the forward tees to break 100 on Bethpage Black. And that'd be having a good day. So it's a really, really difficult golf course. Every single green is kind of raised. And as you said, they chopped down the rough. So they made it much more accessible for players to make birdies. And that was great. And I think Adair Manor is going to be, it's a similar course. You're going to have,
large greens and sloped greens on and a lot of them are raised, so it'll be brilliant. And the grandstanding is what makes it on a Ryder Cup. It's incredible the amount of grandstands, and you need that when the greens are raised because you can't see the ball landing on the green back in the fairway. But overall, it was a brilliant venue, and like in the city that never sleeps, you couldn't ask for better. It's been absolutely fantastic location to have a Ryder Cup. Just a shame that, as I say, things got a little bit out of hand. But overall, job done. Europe win the Ryder Cup, and we move on to the next one, Ivan.
Absolutely. Well, I play off 22, Dennis, so I'm not going to take you on in a match for home bet paid. Dennis, look, absolutely safe travels home, and look, we look forward to chatting again, no doubt, in the build up to any other major golf that we'll be looking forward to over the next year or so.
Thank you, Ivan. Take care.
Well, there you go. That's Dennis Kerwin, who is about to board a flight home from New York after attending this year's Ryder Cup. And again, what a fantastic win it was for Europe and for Irish golf as well, of course, with Shane Lowry securing that half point. Rory McIlroy putting in a fantastic display right throughout the weekend as well, despite all the jeers and everything else from the American crowd. But most importantly, the Ryder Cup is on its way back to European soil for the next 2 years. And we'll be looking forward to heading to Adair as well. Well, we'll be chatting a bit more golf, but more locally, after we take this quick break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Now you're welcome back to the final part of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you for the next couple of minutes. Delighted to be joined in studio by someone who we won't see her at the Ryder Cup, we might see her at the Solheim Cup maybe, or something along the lines. It's Lucy Grattan. She's after winning the Girls Championship at the World Schools Golf Championship in Scotland. Delighted to say she's in the studio. First of all, Lucy, massive congratulations to you. To be rude not to start with the Ryder Cup, did you stay up late last night? Were you watching it? Were you getting some sleep maybe, or were you being sensible?
No, I was absolutely glued to the television. It was really inspiring, and I think they played great golf. It was a little bit scary at some point, but delighted that Lowry pulled through. So
yeah, it's great for Irish golf, and obviously with a day to look forward to now in 2 years' time. But back to yourself, Lucy, obviously massive congratulations. I suppose winning a World Schools Champion, that must feel good.
Yeah, I was absolutely thrilled. It was a great way to finish off the season. I didn't really know what to expect going over. Like, it was a different thing. It started 2 years ago, so it's a new competition. I'm just delighted that one of my schoolmates, Emma, suggested it to two of our teachers.
And off you went.
Yeah.
Was it always golf for you growing up, Lucy? I suppose, you know, people take up different sports when they're younger, and there's bits of football and there's bits of everything else. But for young girls, especially getting into golf, it's great to see in the county.
Yeah, I played a bit of everything, to be honest. But me and my older brother started snag golf in the school, and it was kind of big golf clubs and tennis balls. You hit them at targets. And we absolutely loved it. So we joined lessons in the Kerries with Liam and Catherine, and I suppose from there I joined the golf club when I was about 8 years old, and I loved it ever since. And it was great to have three fellow golfers, Ella, Sophie and Kleena, kind of, we brought each other on, and it was great to have a few girls with me.
Yeah, and kind of nice to have that kind of bond through the sport of golf. You won your third Munster under 18 girls championship this year as well, so quite a mantelpiece maybe. Your father beside you here might have to be cleaning off a few more shelves. It's a great success in a year.
Yeah, I was thrilled to win it. It's my last year in under 18, so I suppose it was just great to get the win, and it gave me a bit of confidence for the season then. And also, last year, I bet my dad that if I won, I'd get a puppy. So that happened. And then I bet him again this year that I'd get a Bernese Mountain Dog. So that's on the way as well.
It's getting a bit expensive for dad. little things to... It's gas how kind of small things can win the day for you. I suppose you've been kind of up against, evidently enough, the best probably in Ireland and abroad, especially in the World Championships. You obviously have had probably a few rounds that maybe stick out in your head over the years. It's kind of that was a great round of golf, and that's what won me this tournament or that tournament as well. It's every round can be a bit different.
Yeah, I suppose the best one was probably Millicent, the under 18 Leinster girls, because I was five shots down going into the last day, and I managed to pull it back, and I actually managed to win it by two. So that was just great. And it was actually my my arch rival from Esker Hills, Shane Lowry's home club. But we're great teammates, or great friends on the course, so
yeah,
it was nice.
Tell me about meeting Darren Clark in the Bahamas. I've this in front of me from my producer here. I'm dying to find out.
Yeah, it was great. He was such a good crack, actually. But he showed his love for the game, and, you know, it was just great to learn from one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Time is ticking, Lucy, unfortunately. The time's running out in the show, but I suppose from yourself, I suppose, what's kind of the next maybe goal? Obviously, you're, like, there's a world of golf is huge. Obviously, you're with school and studies and everything else. What's kind of the end goal for you with the sport of golf? You're obviously enjoying it at the moment.
I suppose I'm going to take it shot by shot and see how far I get. I'm looking forward to going to America to pursue that. So.
Yeah, your scholarship's coming up as well. That's a great chance for you to get into the sport. But look, continued success. Well done again on winning the you know, to have any sort of world medal in any sport. It's a huge achievement. So massive congratulations to you on that. And we'll definitely get you in maybe, or maybe even on the phone from the States and see how your scholarship is going over there. It's a fantastic achievement. But thanks a million for popping in. Thanks to everybody, obviously our stars from Kerry with Training with the Stars in Kinmare. To Dermot on Kerry FC in the first hour, to Brosna GA, and best of luck to them the weekend, and of course to Dan Kearney and Niamh for looking at all things at ladies football. We'll be back again next weekend. Of course, a big weekend coming up in the County Football Championship, and best of luck to Kerry FC as well in that big game against Shamrock Rovers. Do it all again next Monday night from 6. Thanks to Niamh and Rob who helped out in the show. Mary's up next with Tog Sus, and again we'll be back next Monday evening. So long a fall.